I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
With Mother's Day right around the corner, it's important to let Mom know just how you feel. This year at Hallmark, we're proudly rolling out our brand new celebrity-endorsed holiday greeting cards. After the success of Valentine's Day with Taylor Swift...
Dear Valentine, when I say forever, I mean at least 6 months.
We're continuing the fun throughout the seasonal calendar. So this May 12th, let Lindsay Lohan help you express your feelings of sentiment toward the most important woman in your life, Mom. Cards that say things like,
to the woman in my life who taught me all that I know, thanks for the bulimia, thank you for the blow. As a mother and child, we share the most important bond of all, bail bond.
And even cards featuring Lindsay's original poetry.
Tabloids are red, rehab is blue. You pushed me out, now you're famous too.
This Mother's Day, there's no better way to say I love you than...
Dear Mom, I am who I am because of you.
You did this to me!
And don't forget, next month is Father's Day with our special celebrity-endorsed greeting cards from Lindsay Lohan.
Dick Wolf presents Law & Order CSU, Crowdsourcing Unit.
What do you think, Lieutenant?
Looks like she was bludgeoned to death and posed artfully like a Rodin sculpture. We're looking at a real sicko here. What'd you find on her cell phone?
She called the same number 5 times in the half hour before she died.
I'd like to know who owns that number, and maybe canvass the neighborhood. But what does Instagram say?
My feed shows a suspicious white van in the neighborhood, and the photo's gone viral.
Which filter do they use on this?
X-Pro 2.
Really makes them pop.
Okay. Tell DMV to print out records for all white vans registered in the state. And it may have been repainted, so get the non-white vans, too. And it may have been from out of state.
Hang on, Lieutenant. Someone on Facebook says a guy is selling a white van on Craigslist. Also, there's a cute thing from George Takei.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, cats are dumb. All right, people. We have a phone number for the suspect.
Reddit posted his address.
Twitter says he's a witch.
Let's destroy his house!
Yeah!
Hello? Are you here about the van?
Final Edition Radio Hour has the exclusive story of a terrifying skydiving with whales nightmare, which went viral thanks to interlocking Wi-Fi systems. Our Stone Peck has more.
Last Monday night, 7.3 million people from Bellingham, Washington to Ipecac, Mississippi, reported having an identical nightmare. So terrifying, they immediately updated their Facebook status with it. Wake Forest sophomore Dan Furno may have been the first.
I fall asleep in study hall. I dream I'm skydiving from an Airbus 380 transport plane with these real friendly whales. But at 35,000 feet, they shove me out with no chute. Then these drones shaped like Dwayne the Rock Johnson zap me over and over, and I hit the ground where I'm impaled on the cow catcher of the Coors Polar Express. Finally, I'm buried alive under the rotting remains of a 200-ton John Candy.
Thanks, Dan. Where?
So I update my Facebook status with my nightmare, like you do. Then I see a couple of my friends have updated theirs with the same dream.
Okay, Dan. Thanks so much.
I've gone off my meds. I figured it was a conspiracy to drive me mad. But then more and more and more people updated their statuses with exactly the same dream. I thought I was having another nightmare. And I was. I woke up and immediately updated my Facebook status with the whole dream, including nightmare number two. And then I noticed everyone was updating their status with that dream. But I was awake this time.
Thanks, Dan. Salem Gundy is professor of dormimorphy, or the study of sleep, at the University of Phoenix. Professor, what's your take on Dan's nightmare?
Well, not the dream itself. It's not scary. Man up, Dan, you hairy feline. No, it's where Dan had his dream, with his head resting on his dorm's Wi-Fi router. His brain waves must have been on an ultra-high frequency, compatible with the router that picked it up as just another packet of data, then transmitted it to millions of other sleepers within range of a Wi-Fi. I mean, wow. For us sleeper peepers, this is huge.
So Dan's dream went viral. Is that good or bad? Some say more than bad. It's evil. Psychiatrist Mandy Wetwhistle is president of the newly formed Americans Against Dream Invasion.
Dan Furno is the zero dreamer in a horrific scenario. His private dream with all its hideous, phallic, and edible obsessions went viral, and millions of helpless American sleepers were criminally traumatized.
Come on now. What was phallic about it?
The Coors Polar Express? Are you joking? A giant penis-spewing sea... Well, you think that's snow? Then being crushed under the rotting remains of his father.
It was John Candy.
You know nothing of psychiatry. Friendly whales? A gigantic, rotting, smirking, obese father figure? Classic Oedipal memes. Listen, dreams are the final frontier of our privacy. I do not want some pervert's libido coming into my bed, into my body, while I'm asleep. It's digital rape.
Others disagree. Nigel Chin, Facebook's chief mind-delving officer.
Hey, one person's nightmare is another person's premise for a globally successful Warcraft game. LOL. But I digress. This is a vast step forward. If we can ascertain how this works, we can reverse the process. Everyone sleep for 6 to 8 hours. That's as long as chronic TV addicts like yours truly spend watching TV in a 24-hour cycle. But with no consumer resistance. I mean, if we can send messages to sleeping consumers. Awesome! I'm so sorry. Did I spray you? It's these retainers.
What, finally, does the man in the street have to say? Leo Freed.
That's fraud.
Okay, Leo Freed of Tuscaloosa is on a street in Tuscaloosa.
I don't want no Muslims' dreams. Don't want no homo dreams. Don't want no liberals' dreams. Just want American dreams.
And with that, sleep tight tonight, folks, with the light on.
Dream, 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 dream. Dream, dream, dream when I want you. In my arms when I want you.
The next portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by...
We're a part of your community. We're your employer, your protector, your all-around good neighbor Sam. We are America's prison industrial complex, and all we're asking for is your kids. See, we're one of America's fastest-growing industries, and we help make this country unique. America has nearly 25% of all the world's prisoners. Boy, you'd think that'd be enough. But we need more. We need to lock up all your little boys and girls. So, as soon as you hear about something new or unusual, such as, I guess, downloading things. What the heck is that anyway? Well, if you don't understand it, pass a law against it.
and make sure you have tough sentences. That's how young people learn. Do that, and you won't have to be scared anymore. Help us out, because we're putting up more prisons every day. And just like the rest of us, prisons get lonely without children.
Every week during HBO's Game of Thrones, the Final Edition Radio Hour's celebrity panel analyzes the latest episode. Fox News Channel's Sean Hannity is its moderator.
Another great GFT panel. Best scene? Lord Tywin Lannister laying down the law to his kids, Tyrion and Cersei. He tells them both who they're going to marry. They balk. He says, shut the hell up. I'm the boss. You do what I tell you. You got to admire that strong leadership and parental authority. Right, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman?
Wrong. He's a loathsome tyrant, and I predict Tyrion will put a crossbow bolt in his belly.
Whoa! Spoiler! Spoiler! Someone edit that out!
Still, Lord Tywin's funding of a big, lavish royal wedding as a stimulus to the Westeros economy is long overdue. Austerity won't solve the recession that's strangling his realm's economy, with unemployment at 26% and first quarter ox cart manufacturing in the tank.
You're completely wrong, Krugman, as usual. Let me ask actress Shirley MacLaine, whom we saw this season as Mrs. Levinson in Downton Abbey, where she was nowhere near as entertaining as Maggie Smith. How do you like the episode?
You're nowhere near as entertaining as Alan Colmes, Sean, and he's a terminal snooze. So was this episode. Where was the most fascinating character on the show, Melisandre, Red Priestess of R'hllor? I miss her destroying her enemies by giving birth to shadow assassins. I remember the total joy of giving birth to shadow assassins when I was Melisandre in a previous life.
That's not possible, surely. She's a fictional character.
Don't call me Shirley. Game of Thrones actually happened eons ago in actual history. I know it in my bones.
Well, your bones are wrong.
Game of Bones.
Turning now.
Game of Crones.
To brutal Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. What's your take on the episode?
Sean, I strenuously disagree with your positive view of Lord Tywin's behavior. Has he forgotten there's a civil war on? The Lannisters are in an all-out struggle to keep control of the Iron Throne, and he's blathering about weddings? Irresponsible. Tywin must crack down on his family's enemies. Slaughter anyone who expresses the slightest sympathy for them, then silence the populace by torturing thousands of innocent men, women, and children. Especially children. Torturing children shuts people up like that.
Good point, Bashar. Shifting our focus, I want to ask our last panelist, world-famous theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking, about that terrific sword fight between the Hound and Beric Dondarrion. I was puzzled how they brought Beric back from the dead after the Hound killed him. Can you shed some light on that, Steve?
No, I can't. I know nothing about magic. I am a scientist.
No need to get snippy about it.
I, too, was puzzled, because I couldn't remember who the devil Beric Dondarrion is. I am a genius of legendary importance, but there are so many bloody characters I lose bloody track.
Beric is the man who in season 1 saved the life of the Blackfish, Sir Brynden Tully, the younger brother of Hoster Tully, the Lord of Riverrun. Beric is also uncle to Catelyn Stark, Edmure Tully, and Lysa Arryn, who presides over the Eyrie.
Nonsense, you overweening tyrant. You're confusing him with Davos Seaworth, commonly called the Onion Knight, who was imprisoned and tortured by Lord Bolton before being rescued by Brienne of Tarth, only to fall into the hands of Mance Rayder, the king beyond the wall, and his so-called free folk. But how free are they, really, when they're being ruthlessly exploited by primitive tribal feudalism, which is pretty much what you've reduced your country to?
Manners, Krugman. 21st century America could use a little feudalism.
That's insanity, Hannity.
You're all wrong. Beric is the true father of Theon Greyjoy and the lover of Lady Olenna, better known as the Queen of Thorns. He was the chief legal advisor to Robert Baratheon before being raped by Gregor Clegane on the orders of the Kingslayer, which destroyed his memory.
Utter poppycock. Why would Clegane rape Beric?
Don't you poppycock me. I was there when it happened. He squealed like a pig.
Saren, Saren! My kingdom for some Saren!
I can't believe McLean likes the lamest king.
Ooh, I'm having another shadow assassin.
Ah, you're bleeding on my bow tie.
Please do not touch my wheelchair. I will run you over.
Ah!
This is just like when I was Joan of Arc. Ooh.
Our Game of Thrones panel will return after next week's episode, almost certainly with new panelists.
Pulitzer Prizes don't feel so good when they're smashing you on the head, do they?
You Zionist entity!
The Final Edition is pleased to present this special message.
Hi. I'm a typical suburban dad.
And I'm his typical suburban wife.
Hey, honey, do you hear the winds of change blowing?
Sure do, honey. Why don't you tell them what's happening to the nuclear family?
Yes, dear. The average nuclear family now consists of two children, a pet, and a semi-automatic weapon.
Our family is better than average. We have three children and two semi-automatic weapons.
Oh, honey, you know we have two children now.
Oh, that's right, dear. One of them shot the other one.
We call it family fire.
It's what happens when you leave your guns out. It's our Second Amendment right.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the state, the right of the people to leave their guns out shall not be infringed.
You'll have to pry our kids' guns from their cold, dead fingers.
Which we've done.
You know, honey, losing a child is a small price to pay for keeping and bearing arms.
You said it, dear. After all, we can always get more kids.
Guess we're gonna have to start right now.
Fortunately, there's a brand new organization for parents who leave their guns out where their kids can get them.
The PTNRA.
The Parent Teacher National Rifle Association.
The PTNRA makes sure no law will ever come between your child and your gun.
Thank God. Hey, Junior, what you got there? isn't that cute, honey? Honey? Honey?
The PTNRA. Because guns don't kill, very small people whose parents have guns do.
Honey? Honey? Okay, we can fix this in post.
The Final Edition Radio Hour has discovered unreleased footage regarding Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's Senate hearing in relation to the attacks on the U.S. diplomatic outpost in Benghazi, Libya. Here are the highlights. To begin, the Final Edition Radio Hour has learned that Mrs. Clinton was much more warm and congenial in her greetings at the opening of the hearings.
All right, you fuck faces, let's get this over with.
The senators at hand were anxious to commence and forthright with their opening remarks.
You go first, Rand.
No, you go first, Johnson.
I'm not going first. You rip my face off.
I'm afraid.
I'm going to leave.
Come on, you pussies. Are we going to talk about this shit, or are you going to play with your tiny balls all day?
Finally, Senator McCain spoke up.
Oh, for Christ's sake, I'll start. Madam Clinton?
What?
How the hell are you?
Ready to tear these panty waists that call themselves senators new pee holes.
I hear you. Me too.
The hearing quickly got testy between the Secretary of State and Senator Ron Johnson.
Is your town car a Lincoln or a Ford? The American people have a right to know.
What does this have to do with anything?
I drive a Hyundai!
The hearing took an unexpected turn with Senator Rand Paul.
Madam Secretary, do you think you could ever go for a guy like me?
I'd rather lick bird shit.
Okay. Do you think your husband would ever go for a guy like me?
Maybe.
At one point, Secretary of State Clinton and Republican Senator Dana Rohrabacher wrestled.
I'll rip your throat out.
I'm gonna come.
Senator McCain did. Then Representative Ted Deutsch proposed marriage.
You can do no wrong in my eyes. I don't care how many people you've had whacked for the good of you and your husband's career. Marry me. Come to Florida. Everything's legal there.
Then Senator Rand Paul and Senator Ron Johnson wrestled.
I'll rip your throat out.
I'm gonna come.
And Senator McCain did. Then they all sang Fleetwood Mac.
Don't stop
thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop. It'll soon be here.
At that point, Madam Secretary ripped out Senator Ron Johnson's entrails and ate them.
I'm gonna come. I'm gonna come.
And Senator McCain did.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Adele!
Public records. Old friend, why did we fail? Why don't you respond to my 99 emails? I came back in your life uninvited, 'cause I found your Flickr page. I got excited and I Facebook friend your kids, 'cause I implied it that I knew their father. Never mind, I'll find more about you. Keep on posting everything that you do. Just don't block me like this. And please forgive. I got Skype and MySpace, I'll follow you there by watching Foursquare. I also began a subreddit in your name. Never mind, I'll keep researching you. I put key capture software.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Barry Lank, Rob Gordon, Jen Dodd, Lisa Flanagan, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Barry Lank, John Marshall, Jen Dodd, Lou Grossberger, and Tony Hendra. And be sure to check out Lou Grossberger's hilarious new book, Game of Coens, available on Amazon.com right now. And while you're checking things out and we're making pitches, go to thefinaledition.com for more sizzling satire with teeth. If you don't, well, nothing's really going to happen, but we'd like you to. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2013.